This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Wednesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And we are here exclusively. I like that. I just... Yeah. A professional voice. It's
We're just exclusive right now. And everyone listening, welcome to the exclusive party.
hey, welcome. Real quick reminder, today is the 29th. Guess what's going into the mail today? Your ballots, Oregon.
So in about 48 hours, you should have it in your hand. And if you don't, maybe it's time to reach out and make sure that they got all your information correct, because... I've been through that in my household a couple election cycles ago. My ballot arrived. My wife's didn't. Went in and looked, and it said, for some reason, she reverted back to her old address. So we had to have hers go down to the elections office and get it reissued.
Always a good idea to check. And also remember, I mean, as much as we would like you all to register as Republicans so you have a say in the primary, if you're not, if you're a NAV, if you're an independent, you still need to vote on that gas tax, and you need to vote on all the municipal races, which includes mayor and potentially, if you're in one of the wards that's up, you got a city councilor on the ballot there. Mm-hmm. So even if you are not affiliated or an independent, you will get a ballot and you have things to vote on. Vote no on that gas tax. Does that go without saying?
please vote no on the gas tax. I'm just sitting here going, you know, if you are in Salem proper, you're going to at least have the gas tax in the mayor race.
And the mayor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And then we got a big primary race. And so, you know, some polls have been dripping out. We have a third one out here from Hoffman Research Group, Gateway Communications. This was a statewide poll analysis, April 23rd through 24th. What's the sample size on here? I don't have to dig in more into the data. This one's interesting, the primary ballot test. Christine Drazen comes out on top with a 35%. Ed Deal comes in at second at 18, and Chris Dudley is at 14. Others undecided. Unlisted, 8%, and then undecided, 25%. Could change mind. So you've got Drazen over here with a 55, Ed with a 50%, and Chris Dudley with a 74%. And then there's a lot of people that are just undecided. We've got candidate favorability here, Drazen 59, Ed Deal 29, and Chris Dudley 33. Dudley's kind of boom.
Yeah.
Kind of slotting down there a little. Not polling so well.
No, and that's the thing, is the couple of things I've seen him in, he hasn't come across as uber impressive. He ran for governor 16 years ago and has been kind of on the back burner ever since. Whether
well,
it's
he
out
left
of
the state,
doing business, whatever, he hasn't been involved in any Oregon politics since then. So you kind of go, your big job coming into this race was to regain and build momentum and do that. And I haven't seen it yet from the Dudley campaign.
And maybe formulate some policy statements. I mean, really, like I think we had Jeff Reynolds on last week. It's like you've had 16 years to kind of fine tune it. And every forum I've seen him in, it's very sort of, we need to do this. We must do that. Thank you for stating what we all know. What's your plan, man?
Well,
and I never hear a plan. I don't hear anything.
Well, even in the advertising I have seen, it's all about kind of the catchphrase, Oregon needs a rebound, and then videos of him when he played with the Blazers. And I go, I can understand Blazers got eliminated from the playoffs last night by the San Antonio Spurs. So I can understand that bit because, you know, a lot of Oregon invested in how the Blazers were doing in the playoffs. So I get it, but now that's done and over with. I know a lot of people are sad about that. So I'm kind of going, if that's your kind of campaign the rest of the way, trying to capitalize on past celebrity with a couple of basketball-related catchphrases, I don't see it capturing the hearts and minds of voters.
I don't either. And then again, we always talk about this. I'll put the caveat out there. Social media is not real life. But you know what I'm seeing, and you mentioned this too. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a lot of momentum for Ed Deal.
Yeah.
A couple of friends have come out with very strong endorsement statements. These are former politicians. These are former elected officials that have come out and said they're really supporting him. And then I'm looking at the comments and the reactions to that. Ed has been doing pretty well in the forums. Mm-hmm. He was at Dorchester, which was a little bit more of a debate. I kind of watched it again. They did have some rebuttal opportunities. I thought he did really well. I thought so it's interesting to see he does seem to be rising. And as this poll shows, he really kind of came in at kind of in the number two slot. So he's moved up. I checked Orstar yesterday. He doesn't have a ton of money. He has loaned his campaign about $190,000. Again, Orstar, man, just go and geek out there. I think Dudley and Drazen are sitting up, you know, $1, $2 million. Cash on hand's around $500,000, $600,000. Danielle Bethel is pretty solidly in fourth place. She's not mentioned in this poll. Medina is, I don't think I think he's a non-entity in this. So it's been interesting to see the momentum of that deal, and that's really all grassroots.
Well, and I actually saw on a local Facebook group page for kind of this area, somebody actually posed the question, who are you going to vote for in the Republican primary? And when I saw it last night, there were close to 700 people had commented, and I'd say 95 to 98% of the people responded said Ed Diehl, which I'm kind of going, he's coming up. And like I said, after watching the forum a couple weeks ago, I'm like, there's really two campaigns. There's the Diehl and Danielle Bethel race, and there's the Drazen and Dudley. And it's really about who can either pull enough out of those kind of groups to get over the hump, or it's going to come down to just who can get out the most voters.
Well, there's some interesting analysis on this. Just talking about Diehl, he sits at 18%, but 48% of likely GOP primary voters have never heard of him. So again, does social media translate? Of those who have heard of him, his favorable to unfavorable ratio is 29-1. Almost no one who knows him dislikes him. Mm-hmm. So it's like to know him is to love him. And it says among voters with a favorable impression, 89% back him. His conversion rate for knows him to votes for him is the highest in the field. And then you look at Dudley. Dudley is running third at 14%, but 74% of his supporters could still change his mind. That's not good. Mm-mm. That's a delicate little thing there that could go crumble very quickly. It says voters who remember him from his 2010 run aren't particularly committed. If this consolidates into a two-person race, Dudley's voters are most likely to break for someone else. That's not a strong endorsement or statement about the state of the Dudley campaign.
Yep, and of course, you know, in every poll we've seen, Drazen's leading the pack, and I would attribute a lot of that simply to the name recognition. She's, she ran 4 years ago. But at the same time, there's a lot of kind of weakness in her campaign. I know watching even her ads, she points out that, you know, Tina Kotek wants to tax you. She taxed you this way, but she could have done it more, but Christine Drazen got in the way. And I'm kind of going, but you could have probably done even more when you had the positions of power you've had on fighting back, or at least bringing a whole lot of Oregonian eyes to Tina Kotak's overtaxing of Oregonians.
That's the thing. And she has a long legislative record. Representative Diehl, I believe, is in his second term. His is a little bit shorter. And so when you look at voting records and sort of what initiatives and what legislation they've backed and what they brought to the floor and what they've carried and everything else and what they've supported, that is a record you can go out and look to. So kind of much like with Chris Dudley, where it's like, dude, you had 16 years to fine tune this thing. You didn't have to leave Oregon, first of all. That to me is that's a black mark. Mm-hmm. You should have stayed. That's why I hope, you know, regardless of whatever happens in this, in whoever wins, the other people, first of all, we're hoping that they unify behind the candidate. I would like to see their resources and time and money and urge for all supporters to get behind that candidate and then stick around. There's other things to run for besides governor. Mm-hmm. That's why, again, with Danielle Bethel, she has been through. She's been school board. She's been a Kaiser Chamber president. She's Marion County Commissioner. She was was president of the Association of Oregon Counties. You're kind of working your way that way, and you're building up. I think she's got a very bright future. Mm-hmm. She didn't really. There's no mention of her. She didn't really poll in here. She's been consistently right around fourth. Knowing what I know about her, she's not going anywhere. And so that is. That's what we want to see more of. That means that they're committed to being servants, because they're servants. These are servants. They're elected. They're servants.
Yep.
Not leadership. They're not our betters. They're not our leaders. They're elected to serve, to represent us.
Yep. And that's the big thing. And I just sit here and go, if we can convalesce not only the elector, you know, the people that are voting in these elections behind a single Republican candidate at the end of the day, but also financially, because that's where. Yeah. We know that the Tina Kotek is sitting on a huge amount of money. She isn't having to spend anything in the primary because she really has no competition, even though there are 10 Democrats running.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just sit here and go, we are going to need the financial backing to really put up a fight and make sure that statewide, not only do we get that name recognition for the Republican candidate that wins in May, but also the get out the vote campaign needs to be very, very strong this year, because we can't have Republicans in particular sitting out this election.
Exactly. And I think if it's lost, it's apathy that's going to lose it, unfortunately, which is a sad commentary. All right. We're going to take a break for not the bottom of the hour. We're only halfway through the first half hour. We're going to take a break. Come on back.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Salem Clinic Urgent Care and Color Tile of Salem.
Alrighty, welcome back, everybody. I got a good update here. I don't know if you've been following the news on independent, citizen journalist. I don't know if she's a citizen. She works for TPUSA. Savannah Hernandez was assaulted 2 weeks ago by this family. And the father just like shoved her hard. She got a concussion. I mean, and they were, you know, with the little sex toys. I mean, these people are just gross.
Yeah. Well,
and they think they're righteous and they think they're right. And they're just gross.
Well, throughout the videos I have seen, I think it was the mother waving a sex toy in her face.
Yeah.
The daughter trying to shove her way past her and then try and take a swing at her and shove her. And then the father came over and just blew her up from behind. It would be an illegal hit on a football field kind of a thing.
Okay, that's good to know, because she's a tiny little thing. So again, huge news. A federal grand jury has decided to bring indictments against two of the violent protesters who assaulted me in Minneapolis. No word yet on which of the three is being indicted, but I am extremely grateful to the DOJ for moving so swiftly. Justice is coming. Again, if you saw the video, it was absolutely ridiculous. And you could see the mob moving in, and you could see the escalation. The dad's eyes, I mean, there was nothing but evil intent in those eyes. Just, it's always in the eyes.
Yeah.
Those crazy flipping eyes.
Well, and then to add the insult to injury, of course, after this whole event occurred, the family went on the cable news junket to tell their story about how they weren't even a part of it. They weren't close. She actually assaulted the daughter.
Yeah.
And they were nowhere near it. It's literally CNN is showing videos of them literally in the middle of this thing, right up close and personal. And they're telling you, no, we're the victims here. We would never do anything like this.
And that's always what leftist, progressive, communist, Marxists do. They claim the victim. I mean, that, you know, and we'll talk about this in a second, but that's the same thing that Kimmel is doing. But they went on the talk show circuit. They tried to have a GoFundMe because poor me. Someone later on in the thread is saying it's the father and the daughter who were indicted, who were the most egregious. They were the biggest creepers in this whole thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just pictures of this. What a lovely family. And they all just look like they belong in a... all right.
You gotta censor yourself on that one.
This makes me so mad because these people continuously get away with it. Mm-hmm. They're that's why I'm glad there were charges finally brought.
Well,
DOJ, and I'm wondering if there would have been charges brought if Bondi was still in control, because I'm seeing a lot happening, like the Southern Poverty Law Center indictments. Mm-hmm. I'm glad she's gone, because now we're getting some indictments and some things are happening.
Yeah, and I it's sad that this is having to take place at a federal level, because this should be the state police or even the local police in this scenario. But in Minneapolis, you can't assume it's going to be that way, not in Minnesota. So I'm glad the feds do it. I'm not surprised if it's the father and the mother, or father and the daughter, because they were definitely the most aggressive of the group. And actually, both of them put her down at one point.
Yeah. 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 So though this is good news, obviously we'll be following it. A couple of other things, which we're still kind of waiting things out because I'm not sure. James Comey has been indicted again. Mm-hmm. And then a top guy for Fauci. I want to see Fauci, man. I want that perp walk so bad.
That is one I have been dying to see since 2020. The guy literally, I mean, here's this guy that spent however long on TV, the highest paid federal employee out there, claiming that he is science. He is virtually God. And he is, you know, doing this, and then he gets in front of anyone who questions him, and it's, I never said that. And it's like, so virtually you're purging yourself in front of Congress. You're lying on the news. Anytime you are pushed back on it, it's, I didn't do that. I didn't say that. No, you did it all. You got rich doing it all, and you need to go down.
Yeah, so his like second in command, and again, we got to do more research on this. We have Jeff Reynolds is on the show from restoration-news.com is going to be on with us tomorrow, and that may come up, and we'll dig a little bit deeper into that. Another thing that's been interesting, of course, I can't stand this guy. Number one, he is not funny. He's just a total jerk. Jimmy Kimmel has doubled down. President Trump had made a rather self-deprecating comment about the longevity of his marriage with Melania, and so Kimmel's out there, well, he made a joke about it. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, what a dingleberry.
Well, here's it is. And I actually watched a little thing with Adam Carolla. They actually asked him about this joke. And as Adam Carolla kind of put it, you know, you have to kind of put your finger up and kind of judge things. And if this had been a little joke and, you know, this event 2 days later hadn't occurred, you know, it wouldn't be talked about.
Correct.
Today.
Correct.
So, but I sit here and I go, from Kimmel's camp, the logical thing to do would be you made the joke. 2 days later, there's an assassination attempt. And now would be a good time to go on and say, you know, I made a joke. You know, with the events of yesterday, it looks like it's a little bit in bad taste. Let's move on. Everyone would be, it would be done and over with. Instead,
well,
the guy keeps doubling down.
That's assuming there's any sense of decency in these people. And there really clearly isn't. Because you're right. That would be what most normal people would do. Mm-hmm. Not double down on it. I would take Adam Carolla's take on this because obviously he was on the Man Show with him. And Kimmel hasn't been funny for a very long time. Maybe he was sort of funny, but he's always been a bit of a creeper. I don't like the guy. And again, the cardinal sin of late night comedy, you maybe want to be funny. He's not. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see. I'm seeing lots of calls to boycott Hulu and Disney and everything like that. Honestly, people are lazy. Well, I don't want to do it. You know, what are my kids going to do without their favorite car? You know what? Sacrifice it for a little while. You know, oh, I can't take away Disney Plus from my 4-year-old. Find something else for her to do. Maybe give her a book.
Well, unfortunately, we went down this path just a couple of months ago with Kimmel. And unfortunately, it's going to turn him into the martyr again.
It has to be financial.
It has to be financial, and it has to be either ABC has to recognize that they are literally playing with gunpowder at this point.
But they don't care.
But they don't care, or it's the FCC has got to find ways to kind of put a little hurting on the network.
Well, and then you're going to have the left screaming tyranny and all the overstay, which honestly, I don't care because it's like, you know, it's like clockwork. Of course, they're going to scream that. Honestly, it has to be financial. Disney and ABC need to feel the financial impact. And that's going to take people who are outraged by this and want to see something done to actually step up and do something. But so many people don't. Mm-hmm. They just don't. Well, somebody else will. Somebody else
will. Well, it's, you know, it's Disney Plus and it's Hulu and it's ESPN. And oh my gosh, you know, if you give up all these things, what are you going to do? Well, go out and breathe some of this gorgeous fresh air these days.
Go run in the grass in your bare feet. So we'll be definitely watching that. We're coming up on the bottom of the hour. There's so much stuff. There's stuff I want to talk about too. Texas Congressman Brandon Gill. I don't want to get too much into that, but if you have not seen the Senate hearing when he's speaking to that abortion activist, that is something for the ages.
Yeah, I watched that yesterday, and the things he is describing, the process of the abortion, is absolutely disgusting and heart-wrenching. But to watch her squirm as he describes these processes, oh, it is. And I'm going, they should have just kept the camera on her the whole time, because they kept going back and forth. And he said this very calmly, very rationally, and you could tell even hearing the descriptions for this pro-abortion person was almost too much to bear.
And it's interesting because basically what he was doing, he just said, today I asked an abortion advocate what her favorite method of abortion was. And it was brutal and it was brilliant. Mm-hmm. And it's that line of questioning that we need to see more. We need 50 more Brandon Gills. And this guy is an up-and-comer again. He's from Texas. And if you have not seen this, and he's very methodical and he's very calm about it. And it's just, and my understanding is that there was somebody sitting up there on the dais near him and said the camera and the camera angles don't pick up sort of the devastation of what this line of questioning does. There is no, and she doesn't have a line. That's why she's asked, what's your line? She doesn't have one. They don't have one.
And here's the problem is, you know, abortion, it is so easy to convince, especially a young, scared person, that abortion is the way to go when you're not willing to let them know the ins and outs of how this all occurs. And 99.9% of these people, if you actually were to tell them what the process would look like, they're probably not going to go through with it.
That's why this was so devastating, because we use all the euphemisms, and she did too, all the euphemisms. It's women's reproductive health care, reproductive rights. It's health care. Abortion isn't health care.
No.
It's, I'm pro-choice. Well, the baby doesn't have a choice. And so just even reading this thread, I mean, this is absolutely, this is devastating. And again, this is the kind of questioning you want to see, where you turn it back around and you shine a bright, white hot spotlight on what it actually is. Let's start telling the truth about what these things are.
Yeah,
what a novel concept, to just start telling the truth and to start speaking the truth.
Well, and to do it in a way that is non-combative and is putting the iota back
exactly.
on the person you're asking. Unfortunately, we see this so many times where emotions begin to creep in, and all of a sudden one side is getting overly emotional and just can't control themselves. And it becomes almost a little screaming fight where nobody gets anything out of that conversation.
One of the worst of that, I'm sorry, however you feel about her, Marjorie Taylor Greene was awful. She just get into these shrieking matches. And I'm sorry, when you've got two women screaming at each other, I'm going elsewhere. That's why this was so effective. It was so calm, and it was just devastating.
Yep.
So if you haven't had a chance, go out to Rep. Brandon Gill on X and watch this. And again, I want to see more of this. I want to see, this is the tactic. This is the way you need to deal with this. And so people who say congressional hearings are kind of a bust and they're worthless, nope, not in this case.
No, this is definitely one worth the watch. Granted, you know, probably don't eat anything right before you do, because it's going to put a knot in your stomach to hear the descriptions he uses.
Yeah, it's devastating. So kudos to him. And again, let's start bringing more folks like that to Congress, huh? Yeah,
I would love that. People that actually can kind of flip the script a little bit without getting obnoxious and in the face and screaming to prove a point would be so nice to see.
I know. All right, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour news. So once that is done, come on back. We got more.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Okay, the other one that we've got to mention, because we were talking about this over the break too. And again, these are folks, these are men and women that are, they're not flashy. They're not like, you know, they're not out there all, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene or Lauren Boebert or whatever.
Yeah.
But Lee Zeldin, the head of the EPA, going up against Rosa DeLauria, the purple haired weirdo. What state is she from?
California.
Of course.
She's in California. Yeah. Yeah. She's a California rep. And it was at the EPA budget hearing, I believe. And Ms. DeLauria's complaint was that the budget proposal from the EPA is literally, without saying it, saying global warming is a farce and a myth and it's not real. And she was very upset about it.
Oh, she was. She was verklempt.
Mm-hmm.
So he's dropping statutes and laws and court cases. And she's like, what? Mm-hmm. She had no idea. She had no idea what he was talking about. So that just got her even more riled up.
Yeah. And that was the kicker. He came prepared. He had all the information he needed to say, this is why we're doing this, because this is what we're allowed to by law. And granted, I'm sure during the last administration, a lot of these bureaucracies went outside the law to do whatever they needed to do. So that might be the foreign concept here for Ms. DeLauria. But he pretty much said, here's the court cases that say this is where our lane is and we're sticking to it. She had no clue what the court cases were, knew nothing about anything. And rather than that, pretty much call him a climate denier.
Yeah. And he didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. And that's what's so devastating and what's so effective about, again, with Representative Gill. And then, of course, EPA head Zeldin. They were very calm. They were very surgical. They just had the facts, and they let the other side just sputter off into space, because they can't argue with him because he knows the facts.
Mm-hmm.
The same with Gill. They can't argue. The other tactic on the other lady was just to repeat her comment over and over again, which in its own way is devastating, as he's reading the brutal procedures, and she's just very monotone. That's devastating in its own way. DeLauria, on the other hand, it was like she just like was a bottle rocket that just kept amping up until she just
sputtered out.
Couldn't do it anymore. She just sputtered out.
And that was the best part of the clips from that, is because this hearing was actually held kind of in a boardroom.
Yeah.
So whereas with the Gil scenario, you're seeing Gil or you're seeing the woman he was talking to. You're not seeing much of the reaction of the people around. In this one, you could see the women sitting next to Deloria, and they look so embarrassed for her. She stopped at some point with her jaw dropped and starts looking around as if someone's going to step in and be her savior and back up what she's saying. And they are all as closed mouth and shocked and knowing she is looking like an absolute fool in this scenario.
Like, you're on your own, girl. You're on your own on this
You
one.
Jump off that bridge. We're not coming with you, okay?
So those are just too funny. The other one, too, we got to mention real quick. King Charles and Queen Camilla. Honestly, whatever. Okay. I do like Wills and Catherine. Well, I do like them and their little family. And they celebrated 15 years of marriage today, which is wonderful. Congratulations. King Charles, he's a weirdo. And Camilla.
I'll tell you what. You can appreciate the pageantry of them coming in. They had the whole big setup. The limo came. They had, everything
else. Did you see he gifted President Trump? They have a common ancestor, apparently, and he gifted President Trump the bell from, like, the British ship Trump or something, which was really kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, and there was a big, yesterday morning, the news cut out to show them arriving at the White House or the Pentagon and everything else, and then they addressed Congress, a joint session of Congress.
Right.
Where the whole room stood up and gave a 3-minute, including every Democrat, which would never stand up for a child with cancer or
a crime victim
or crime victim or even the widow of a deceased military member. They don't stand up for that, but they gave a 3-minute standing ovation to an actual king.
So wait a minute. Fake kings, non-existent kings, they can't stand, but actual real kings, especially like United Kingdom, Britain's king, they're all down. 3-minute standing ovation.
A 3-minute standing ovation for an actual king.
How do you take these people seriously?
Well, that's the thing.
Good grief. Yeah,
as they're probably planning their next No Kings rally, they're giving a 3-minute ovation to a king.
That's why I always love the No Kings rallies in London.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that visit, though, the pictures, I mean, I just love her. I saw the Melania movie and I loved it. I thought it was great. What I loved about the Melania movie is it kind of went behind the scenes on how she gets ready. Like, she got ready for the inauguration and the work and the time and the design and the meticulous attention to detail that goes into her clothes. That pink ball gown with those mid-arm length silk gloves. Mm-hmm. She's so beautiful. There's something about seeing someone who is so beautiful that just, it makes your eyes happy. And then that really, I know that sounds kind of silly, but it does. And then that white suit with the full button down. And then again, one of those amazing hats, a very straight brim, beautiful hat. She's just stunning. And she's so elegant. And it's so lovely to have such a wonderful woman as our first lady. I just think that's cool.
And one who's not actually running the country behind the scenes. That's a big refresher.
Or steps out in a frock that looks like a tablecloth. Oh, look, she matches the drapes. So lovely.
She's never demanded once to be called doctor.
Oh, God. Dr. Jelly. And then, of course, you had Michelle Obama on the cover of every magazine. You know, those arms. And you look at the two side by side. It's like there is no comparison. Mm-mm. And has Melania been on any magazine covers? Not that honestly really it matters that much, but it kind of does.
Not since her husband went down an escalator, we'll put it that way.
yeah well, I think she's spectacular, and again, I just think she's great. And then I loved also too, they brought out the king and the queen. Is she queen consort, I guess? I don't know how they, whatever, who cares. to look at the beehive. Now, I thought that it was, my understanding is that Michelle Obama brought the first beehives into the White House when she was there. So this is the beehive on the south wall, and this is kind of cool because the mustache wants a beehive. So it looks like we're probably going to be getting bees, which I hope they're just like way down the road, because I don't need bees buzzing around
me. As long as they
me.
Don't get indoors.
I don't want them indoors. But this bee house is a replica of the White House. It's the coolest thing. And then, of course, there's a picture of President Trump catching a bee.
Yeah, I think it is a very cool, what always catches me about the White House property is you never realize how extensive it all is.
Yeah.
It's like you hear about this, you see the pictures of the building with the gate in the front and this and that, and you kind of, as you go, you realize that they've got enough room for an orchard and a beehive and to build a ballroom and this and
a
that.
A ballroom.
A basketball court for Obama. I mean, just sitting here going, it is actually a pretty darn big property down there.
It is. And again, I haven't been to D.C. since I think I was like 14 years old. So basically, for all intents and purposes, I haven't been to D.C. So that's a trip I definitely want to do. I'm going to be in Boston, but that's quite a drive from to D.C. from there. So I'm not going to make it this year, but it is something I want to do. But I love that there's the Beehive there. I love that there's so much there's friendly relationships between the king and President Trump. And apparently his mother was a McLeod. We know a McLeod. I wonder if there's a connection there. We'll have to find out.
Get some genealogy going here.
Get some genealogy. So lots of cool stuff. All right, let's go ahead and take our last break. We got to come back. And we got to talk about the Supreme Court decision. Okay. It was a 6-3 decision. It was on congressional maps. And that's a big, big deal. So we're going to take our last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli.
Okay, this is big breaking news. Well, it broke a while ago, but Supreme Court has ruled that drawing congressional districts based on race under the Voting Act's right is unconstitutional. 6-3 vote. Oh, any guesses on who the three dissents were? No.
Well, I was going to guess.
Well, you could still guess. But
I'm guessing Ketanji Brown Jackson is one of them.
Yes, and Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan. Huh? Surprise, surprise. This is a huge win, and it could have massive ramifications for the 2026 midterms. Democrats, this is a Nick Sorter post on X. Democrats for years have sued over and over again to force states like Louisiana to create black majority districts. Louisiana's map has now been thrown out. If SCOTUS ends up gutting the act, a dozen Democrat districts could flip red overnight. You're looking at a map of Louisiana, the gerrymandering. We all saw what happened in Virginia. Mm-hmm. Ridiculous gerrymandering. Look at Oregon.
Yeah.
Same thing. We got one Republican.
Well,
Cliff Benz.
I sit here and I go, every time we have a presidential election or even a gubernatorial election, the big word coming out, you know, when you look at a map of Oregon, we have three blue blobs down the West Coast and everything else is red. And they sit here and say, land doesn't vote. And I go, but wait a second. When it comes to representation, Oregon would be mostly blue as we have five Democrat representatives and one Republican. So in that case, have they, you know, gerrymandered the land so it can vote blue?
Yeah, well, good question, because really it is the big blue blobs that rule the state, which is obviously Portland, Salem, and Eugene. A lot of calls now for the southern states to get on this now, because we all know that the Democrats will do whatever it takes. They are willing, especially once they have the reins of power. You look at what they do when they don't have power. What do you think they're going to do when they do have power? So get in there. Southern states need to be redistricting. Red states, get in there. Honestly, red states should be hardening up to make them where blues are just like, ew, we don't want to go there. And frankly, if you were a blue state voter, you need to stay in your blue state and live with what you voted for. Don't bring that crap over into the red states. Nobody wants you.
Well, I'm just looking at it because it's got he posted a map of the southern states.
Yeah.
And I sit here and look at Louisiana as it currently stands, has literally a blue line across it.
Kind of like a sash of blue.
And yet, with the plausible scenario coming out is it is all red. Mississippi, about half of it is blue. And if they actually do it based on population instead of skin color, Mississippi goes all red. Alabama, same thing, about halfway across is all blue, but could end up being fully red, and a little blob in Tennessee currently is blue and would probably be red at the end of the day.
Yeah, and Florida has two big blobs. And then I guess Florida did pass DeSantis's maps. And right when all that passed, you could literally hear Democrats literally screaming about it. So honestly, at the time, you know, there is no compromise anymore. We're way past that. When you've got the likes of like Jimmy Kimmel and all these people out there, I mean, you know, you just don't. It needs to just be, we need to win. We just need to win,
well,
period.
I
should be the mindset.
I sit here and I look at a state like Oregon or Washington, and I sit here and kind of go, how would we go about getting something like this, the congressional maps based on the census, placed on a ballot where Oregonians could have a say and sit here and say, yeah, this one, when you literally look like a jigsaw puzzle, it's telling us that maybe there's a little bit of finagling to make sure that, you know, blue is well represented compared to red, where realistically you could draw a bunch of circles or squares and come up with a much more realistic map where my neighbor across the street isn't in a different district than me.
And I think that's how Iowa does it. Iowa's pretty straightforward. It's mm-hmm. just, you know, here it is. And you don't try to like you looked at the Virginia map after that was done. And again, Virginians voting for Spanberger because number one, hey, what did she do? She lied about who she was. Mm-hmm. And so I think people who didn't do any research, unfortunately, which this should be a big clarion call to do your research on these people. But the way that whole thing, everything sort of narrows down like a big hand squeezing it all into one area right around, what is it, Raleigh? Mm-hmm. And so anyway, it's time to start paying attention. I'm so tired of the, well, I just don't do politics. Well,
politics does you.
I know.
And it's
come on, and all the games. It's time
you.
To step up. And, yeah. and honestly, it's time. You don't compromise. It's time to just win. And a lot of the stuff just needs to be stopped cold. Case in point, New York. I have family in New York. I don't know how they voted. I have my suspicions. And frankly, if they voted for this clown, okay, lay in that bed that you made. I don't have any sympathy for you. But Mom Donnie has announced that, oh my gosh, they're in a budget crisis. What has it taken? A little over 100 days? He sure ran out of other people's money really quickly.
Well, of course, in his press conference, he's going to blame it on he was saddled with a major deficit from the last leadership.
Not my fault.
Wasn't me. And they're not going to cut any of those necessities that New Yorkers need. Granted, his list of necessities is probably about 10 times longer than a real list of necessities. So he's looking for ways that they can raise money, and he's putting a little pressure on the governor and some other people because, gosh darn it, New York is in a budget crisis.
Which New York, what, has a – doesn't NYC have a bigger budget than Florida?
Probably.
With all the gimmies and the freebies and the free buses and, of course, the free grocery stores that they're not going to actually see till 2029. That's going to cost, what, $30 million for just one of them? Yeah, all of that sounds so good. And he's out there blaming it. I guess he basically threw the governor under the bus. She tried to work with him. And, you know, everyone, of course, is bringing up Margaret Thatcher's quote, the problem with socialism is you eventually run out of other people's money. Sure happened a lot quicker. And then there's a lot of people saying, you know, hey, this is me. You know, when tax the rich becomes tax for everyone, because, you know, tax the rich, well, they're going to be like, I'm out of here. So then it goes boom, boom, down to the next level. They're out of here. And so on and so on until he's taxing you.
Well, he did that little video in front of some billionaire's, you know, condo
uh-huh.
thing.
Oh,
and
creepy.
That person, he's a little upset by it. And they have a massive project going on in New York City where he's kind of thinking they might go ahead and move it out of the area at this point because Mr. Mamdani decided that he was the poster child for billionaires they need to tax that don't actually live in New York full time.
Right. I mean, we all know how this works out. And it's not, again, it's not they're dumb. They don't know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. Let's move over to the West Coast and go to Seattle, where the new Katie Wilson basically was on a dais or on a stump with a bullhorn. Yeah, I'm going to boycott Starbucks, blah, blah, blah. Well, okay. Now let's zoom into the time machine, into the future. Starbucks is like, bye. Mm-hmm. You make it uncomfortable. You clearly don't want us, so we're out of here. And then, you know, somebody's trying to ask her that question. Well, that's not part of our press conference. And her staff drags her away. That's the MO all the time with these socialists. And she's a socialist.
Well, did you hear that she was giving a little speech on one side of a building as gunshots rang out on the other side of the building?
I did not hear that,
yes.
But I'm not surprised.
Yeah, and I'm just sitting here going, that is so par for the course, as you're talking about all the great things you do, as virtual gang violence is on the other side of the building you are in. Bullets hit windows in the building, and I'm just going, yeah, this is your socialist utopia. You seem to love it. You seem to want it. You want the criminals to be non-criminals. You want law-abiding citizens to find a way to criminalize them. And I just sit here and go, when are we kind of going to be done with all this stuff? When are we going to right the ship and realize that this socialist mentality is dragging us farther down, especially in a state like Oregon, where, you know, we know there's a massive drug, homeless, mental illness problem that we just keep throwing money at to the point where now Portland's asking for their neighboring counties to hand over extra cash.
Yeah, well, when you've got an electorate that basically a couple of generations have been worked on, where there's been massive indoctrination in the public schools, and you've been told, you have had generations of school kids being told their country is terrible. They've been told that either if you're white, you're an oppressor, you know, all this stuff that has been going on for a generation. People are ripe for this. A lot of people, people like being protected. They like having somebody else. I don't want responsibility for my own life. Freedom is scary. everything is a right now. I have a right to eat. I have a right to a house. I have a right to all of this. That has been sort of, everyone is married. Not everyone, of course. There are a lot of people who don't buy this stuff. But where's the tipping point where the people that do buy it, that do want it, are now more than the people that don't? And especially if you've got, like in Oregon, let's talk about it. There's a lot of voter apathy in Oregon, especially on the Republican side. If you're not even going to bother to vote, the one small thing you can do, the easiest thing you can do, what do you think you're going to get more of?
Well, I just sit here and I go, you know, along those lines, here's the one thing that I have seen in a societal change is if you are having to be responsible for your own well-being, you also have to be responsible when things don't go the way you want them to.
Uh-huh.
And people are so afraid of being responsible when things don't go how they want them to. I didn't pay my bill. My power got shut off. Well, it's obviously the power company's problem. I didn't pay my, you know, whatever the scenario. I'm seeing so much more of that, especially in young adults and things like that. And I'm kind of going, it's time to step up. Be responsible for yourself. You make things happen. You know, you can work hard and good things will happen. And yes, there will be setbacks in life. We've all dealt with it. But you try and overcome and push through them.
Right. But you've got a generation, a couple of generations where you're going to, you say what you just said and you're going to get, okay, boomer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as hard, and you're going to get a lot of excuses. It's different. Was it hard when I came up? Was it hard when you came up? I graduated high school into one of the worst economies in the early 80s before, you know, the Reagan Revolution. It sucked.
Mm-hmm.
But you did what you had to do. And so it just, there's a mind shift now where, you know, you've got people talking about universal basic income. You just go back to talking about the people that were indicted for assaulting Savannah Hernandez, trying to play the victim. It's the victim narrative. There's a lot of cachet for that. There's a lot of social cachet for being the victim. We see that across all aspects of society. Being the victim is, you have social standing with that. So it's very attractive to people, and not being responsible, somebody else taking care, demonizing the rich. Look at Mom Donnie. That worked. He won.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we've talked about it when it comes to the school structure. You know, schools in particular push the idea that a certain group of students are the victims and the other certain group of students are the oppressors. So the oppressors find ways to get into that victim group.
Right. Yeah. Well, I just real quick, I know we're almost out of time, but I just want to mention, because Portland Public Schools is facing a $56 million budget deficit and they're doing a lot of layoffs, a lot of people are getting their kids out of these schools where they aren't being indoctrinated and marinated in this kind of mindset. And parents don't, it's so devastating. It's so damaging. And it's not good for a society. It's not good for a family. It's not good for students.
Well, my understanding is they are going to be shutting down some schools
yep.
in Portland and, of course, laying off people. And I sit here and I go, and what schools are the ones most likely to be shut down? These are going to be the poor communities, the ethnic communities, the ones that they claim to want to love and take care of. They're going to shut those down. They're going to put their kids on a bus and send them halfway across town to a different school.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're almost out of time. But again, this tells you it's time to start voting for something different. What have you got to lose? How great is it now? It isn't. So try something new. Ballots go out today. Mm-hmm. The 19th is the election. Vote for something different. Vote Republican.
Heck,
what have you got to lose?
Fill out those ballots when they get to you and
yep.
either drop them off at a polling mm-hmm. place or put them somewhere so you'll remember to drop them off the next time you're out and about. Because let's get this vote out. Let's get this thing started right.
Amen, amen. All right, everybody. We're going to have Jeff Reynolds joining us tomorrow from RestorationNews.com. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.